closing your eyes, clearing your head of all thoughts, and only noticing how you feel as you breathe in and out. It's become a popular psychology tool. Talk therapists of all varieties are encouraging patients to try meditation to help them manage flash floods of emotions during the therapeutic process. The National Institutes of Health is financing about 50 studies to learn whether meditation techniques do in fact help things like stress, addiction, depression, hot flashes, and the propensity to buy Bowflex systems off the TV at night. I made that last one up. So, we learned all this stuff this week from a New York Times story we ripped from the headlines. It's a little easier than doing the work ourselves. We outsourced it to New York Times reporter Ben Carey, who joins us now to talk about his story, Lotus Therapy. Hey, Ben.
Hello.
So, you know, was I practicing therapy without a license there when I was describing how mindfulness meditation works, just clearing your head and only noticing your breath? Is that about it?
It's pretty bare-bones stuff, and I think that, of course, it's been around a lot longer than therapy and pretty accessible to anyone, so I think you can be allowed to describe it in that way. It's pretty close.
And how does it work as a therapeutic tool?
Well, I mean, it's used in a whole different bunch of ways, but, like, for example, one of the most promising ways is to prevent relapse and depression for serious depression. And so what they try to do there is get the person to essentially practice, you know, this pretty basic meditative technique. And once they feel they've sort of mastered the basics, then they encourage them to, in effect, sort of let themselves feel, you know, sort of troubling emotions or sort of look at a sort of a soured relationship. And the idea is when you're in this meditative state, you kind of just observe this effect on you, kind of without fighting it, without trying to, you know, rationalize it or change it or whatever, and you kind of let the feeling pass.
Well, that's the idea. So what's the evidence that it works?
Well, there's not a lot of evidence yet. There are a couple of studies that have come out of the group that's centered in Toronto that show that, you know, if you incorporate this into some therapy for relapse prevention with people with depression, if they've had three or more, it does seem to cut the risk that they'll relapse again. However, for people who have only had one or two relapses, it's not clear that it's helping them. It might even be making them a little worse. Not clear what's happening there. But anyway, so that's still, but it's still early. You know, they're looking at this. And like you said, you know, the NIH is interested in this for a whole bunch of different things.
Why would it be harmful? Why would it make it worse? Just that it's not the underlying problem's not being treated in another way?
Well, no, I mean, that's possible because you're sitting there, you know, meditating. You're not getting any other kind of therapy. You know, I mean, it's not always a good idea for people who, you know, have mental issues to have them sort of sit with their mental issues.
Thoughts.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're...
Simmer.
Yeah, this simmer, they call it rumination, you know, whatever. I mean, so this might work for some people. You and I might be able to sit there sort of guru-like and watch, you know, our troubles pass before our eyes. But someone else, especially if they're in the middle of an acute problem, that just make them worse. I mean, and they get nothing out of it.
To try to understand what mindful meditation was, I went to Wikipedia. First, I tried Googling it in other ways, but
yeah.
I guess my non-Zen-like brain couldn't understand tons of these descriptions on these Zen sites and these meditation sites. Kind of seemed like gobbledygook to me. So I went to Wikipedia, not Buddhapedia,
right.
And there's a description there, but tell me how well this nails it.
Okay.
Quote, one is free to release a thought, let it go, when one realizes that the thought may not be concrete reality or absolute truth. Thus, one is free to observe life without getting caught in the commentary. Is that about right?
You know, you could.
And that's the non-gobbledygook
explanations
version.
For this, you know, you're just being so Western about this.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty close. I mean, so
non-attachment.
I mean, I'm looking at
it's
this
about
from
non-attachment.
It's pretty close. I mean, you really. That's it. They want you to sort of be in the moment. Now, just excuse that phrase, and you know, that's a phrase like inner child where people just sort of snort when they hear it. But
I snorted. I just snorted. I don't know if you could hear that. Yeah.
Well, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway, so the idea is to, you know, relax, you know, sort of really concentrate on your sensations, your breathing, be in the moment, just sort of, and if you try this and you practice this, you do kind of get into a different kind of state, which I did, by the way, when I was doing this story.
That's good reporting. And was that the first time you tried it?
Oh, yeah. No, this is not, no cultural connection with this kind of stuff. But it was the first time I tried it. And so you get into this, and then you're supposed to sort of just watch without judgment sort of what happens as you're sitting there. And so that's just it. Really, there's not a lot more to say about it.
But the danger is that then you start thinking about not thinking, and especially if you're a reporter, you're analyzing your non-thinking.
And the danger is you're paying a therapist how much money to do that?
Well, you know, keep in mind a couple things. Number one, is yes, thinking about not thinking. If you're a reporter, you're definitely wasting deadline time on something like this. But, you know, usually it's incorporated into other therapy. Well, you know, therapies like cognitive therapy, yeah. For example, which is a very common sort of answer for depression, where they try to reshape people's assumptions and thoughts. So
it
they're
can
not
augment therapies. It's not a therapy in and of itself.
No, it's usually that's part of a therapy, yeah. And so they would teach it to you as a technique. And in some cases, and some people who work with very troubled people, you know, I mean, they're just kicked around by, you know, their anxieties and their memories so much that, yeah. I mean, they can't sit still practically. And so you need to figure out a way of getting them just to tolerate, you know, sort of what their internal psychology is churning. And,
yes.
And so that just makes it a supplement to usually a broader approach to, you know, solving the problem.
Got it. Ben Carey of the New York Times. Thank you, and thanks for that article.
Sure.
Stay with us. Coming up, San Francisco Dump, the artist in residence. Curious? Stay with us. We'll talk about it. This is the BPP from NPR News.